Good morning, everybody. So good to be with you on this Sunday morning. Welcome from all over the world. We praise God that we're here together and we're believing we're going to go out on a higher level in which we came in. It's so good to be with you guys. I want to share with you something that happened over the weekend. It's all about God, okay? So I'm driving from Orlando back up to Indiana. And I received a phone call from my friend Marty, who runs the International Christian Film Festival. He won a couple of awards there. And I'll show a picture of Marty. There he is right there. He's from Haiti. He has a real love for artists, for actors, for filmmakers, for musicians. And he was having this little event in Nashville. And I was just driving through. It was on a Saturday. He said, David, one of my speakers canceled. And would you please come and speak to the group of filmmakers? And of course, he's a Christian, and I guess they were Christians. I said, sure, you know. So I show up, pull my car over, show up, and here I am in front of the, I think it's the Nashville Film Institute. Take a look. Buddy, David here. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee at the Nashville Film Institute. I'm gonna be teaching filmmaking for the ICFF Film Festival in Orlando, and I'm just so happy to be here. Nashville's a great town, up and coming. Well, it's actually my hometown when I was a songwriter, so good to be back, and God bless you all. All right, so why did I play this? I got in front of everybody, whole room, a lot of people, and as I got on stage to teach filmmaking, God said, no, you're not doing this. I go, what am I doing? He asked me to come and teach. He said, you're going to preach. I preach? You're going to preach. So I preached. I preached on each and every person's assignment in life, that this life is nothing but God's movie, and you're the star of God's movie. After it was over, I had so many people come up to me and say, David, that's what I needed to hear. That's what I needed to hear. So what I'm telling you is, because of your all's prayers, because of your encouragement, because of your donations, you're affecting lives all over the world in so many different ways. It's not just us meeting here, though I'm so thankful for it, but it's branching out and touching people's lives. Just like last week when we showed Last Evangelist in a big church in Atlanta. Young kids came up to me and said, Mr. Heavener, we love this Last Evangelist. It's so cool. These are Gen Zs and under, folks. We got to keep moving up. We got to keep getting the word out. We can't be comfortable staying in our own little zone. God has called us in these last days to be first responders. Ooh, let me say it again. God has called us in these last days to be first responders. And that's what we're doing. That's why we're together every week. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate y'all. And listen, before I forget it, I know you're members of David Heavener TV. If you're not, I want you to go and sign up right now so you can go with us underground. And we have the Last Evangelist Film and Music Festival coming up. Don't forget about it. Okay. Don't forget about that. You can be there in person or you can be there, online. You don't need to just be there in person. So go get your tickets right now, November 14th and 15th. You can show the 15th is the big day. The 14th, I'll be teaching classes, how to make your own Hollywood filmmaking, acting classes, and I'll be doing auditions. But you can go there, get your tickets. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can. We have these different sponsors that help us finance this. We really do appreciate it. And we thank you so much for being a part of this ministry. And if you do become a sponsor, which we would love for you too, you can contact us and you become a sponsor. Contact 844-806-0006 or David at davidheavener.tv. You can get a table there, talk about your mission, your ministry, and so forth. All right, let's get to it. Love you guys. I appreciate you. Paul said in Philippians, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. Listen to me. Stand firm in one spirit. Folks, we are one body, but we are different parts of the body. We must stand together in one spirit, the Spirit of God, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. We stand together as one. We are one. You and I are one in the body of Christ. And we stand for the faith of the gospel, truth, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is really important. There's many in the body, but when we come together, we are one. So if you're being opposed, if you're being frightened, I want you to remember, we got your back, baby. We're here for you, baby. If they hurt you, they hurt me. If they hurt me, they hurt you, because we are part of the body. We don't hurt each other. We support each other. Do we agree? No, not all the time. But families don't. But we are a family. We have allegiance to God. Therefore, we have allegiance to one another. So let me tell you something. If you're going through persecution, if someone's messing with you, they're messing with me. All you have to do is say, David, pray for me. And we will pray those demons straight back into hell. We cast them into hell. We don't pray them into hell. We cast them back into hell. You can do that too. You can do that for me. See, we all struggle and we're all weak and we have our times where we're down, but we support each other. All right. Shit, I read that scripture and I thought it was really cool. All right. You ever heard of the term Elvis has left the building? It was a phrase that was used some, I don't know, 40 years ago when he died, though many didn't believe he died. They still think he's alive. Matter of fact, I starred in a movie called Elvis from Another Planet. It was kind of a crazy sci-fi thing where I played an Elvis impersonator. And Elvis didn't really die. They sent him to another planet. He came back via the FBI and had to do some crazy stuff. But anyway, the point is this, is that when he died, they said Elvis has left the building. Now, why would they say that? Why would they say Elvis has left the building? Because Elvis would be in the building performing. That's where he lived most of his life. People would go to concerts. He's up there. He has been singing, performing, but now he's left the building, meaning he's no longer here. He's gone. He's dead. But what did people do? When he died, they wouldn't accept the fact he died. You know what they did? They resurrected Elvis impersonators. People that looked and sound like Elvis. I know I played one of them. I know what you're thinking. Heavener, you don't look anything like Elvis. Well, it's amazing what makeup can do. All right. Thank you very much. Tupelo, Mississippi. Okay. The point is this, is that they would not allow him to die. Well, he died. But they resurrected a fake Elvis. Matter of fact, all over the world, they had Elvis impersonators. You've seen them. And they look pretty good. I mean, like some of them look really close. So he's up on stage, this impersonator, and he's singing Elvis songs, moving like Elvis, but it ain't Elvis. And I remember thinking, when I did the movie, I'm out there filming dressed as an impersonator. And, you know, there's people that look much more like Elvis than I do. But yet I had people run up to me and ask me for my autograph. I mean, it was insane, folks. They weren't thinking I was Elvis, but because I had the essence of Elvis, they wanted the autograph. You see, this is the way it is in churches all over the world right now. God has left the building. People are piling into churches as we speak. It's a Sunday here. All over the world. But God ain't there.
Is it? Well, David,
I got God in me. If I show up, God's there. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. When you have a church that is lukewarm, that is apostate, that will not stand up for babies that will not preach sexual perversion, that will not stand for truth, God is not in that building. He cannot be in that building. So first to think we're going to go into an apostate church because I have God in me. Now God is there, baby. You better think again because it doesn't happen that way. Because who are they worshiping up on stage? Who are those singers singing about? They got the fog and the lights flashing. God has left the building in most churches today. Just like he left the building in the synagogues when Jesus walked the face of the earth. He told him that. He said, you are twice the sons of hell. You search the earth and you take one person and you turn them twice into the sons of hell that you are. You den of vipers. It's not just the Six Flags Over Jesus churches. Oh no, it's the mom and pops, baby. It's the gray hairs or the no hairs. Singing the same hymns over and over again. So many times they don't even hear the words. These aren't churches, they're family events. You go in there and you try to change anything. You try to do something different. You try to tell them to, not to sit in the same place in the pew. Let me tell you something. They'll spew the pits of hell all over you. I've been there. I know it. Now, I'm not saying every church is like that. And thank God, there's little churches sprinkled throughout the United States, throughout the world, that have the heart of God, that they seek truth. They want truth, and I thank God for them. I thank God for you if you're part of it. But you know you're a minority. You know they come against you. You know you're different. And dare I say, there may even be Six Flags Over Jesus Church or the God March. There may be that have a heart for God in the essence of who they are. I'm not discounting that. It is a possibility. I haven't seen them. I wish I could. I've gone to them. I've tried it out. I'll do it every once in a while. You see, the fact that you grow and you get so big that you have to hang movie screens all over town because you can't put people in the same building, though you've built a building bigger than a soccer stadium, that tells me you got a problem, buddy. Because you've got all these people crammed all over the city watching screens. How many demons do you think hang out there? Man, that's a playground. Because they work behind the scenes, and the more there are, the easier it is for them to work. You see, let me tell you something. When Jesus said, two or more are gathered in my name, he didn't just mean, I don't believe, because two or more, there I am. I believe he meant something else. You see, where two or more are gathered in my name, that's where Jesus will be. And let me tell you why Jesus can be there. Because when it's just two or more are gathered in his name, that means three. That means there's not much a demon can do. Because it's just two people and God. So you can see demons working. The less people, the easier it is to spot a demon. That's why they love to hang out in mega church malls. It's a great deception. That's what Timothy talked about. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew. What good is it to pray and to fast and to feed the homeless and the hungry, and yet you're deceived? I mean, truth should be the core, the beginning of everything. Of course you want to preach love. But you can't preach love without truth. And you're not going to have truth without consequences. Let me say it again. You can't preach love without truth. And when you preach truth, there are going to be consequences. There was for Jesus. They hung him on the cross, hung him to the cross. No, the Romans did that. Excuse me? Come on. First of all, Satan used, got into the hearts of the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews, and they used Rome to carry out the execution. So it wasn't Rome, though it was Rome. And the Jews couldn't have done it without the government. And this is what's going to happen in the last days. The apostate church, they hate you, they hate me. They'll use the government to try to take us out because it disrupts their agenda. Their agenda is to come together under one world religion, under one world government, so that everyone can take the mark of the beast. Do you understand? This is not a fairy tale. It is not an episode of the Twilight Zone. It is a real deal. And unless right now we nip it at the bud and we say, I will stand on truth, I will preach love, but I will do it on truth, and I don't care that I suffered the consequences. Why? Because we are one body. I've got someone backing me up. I've got the body of Christ praying for me on my side. Come on, bring it on, baby. Like Rocky said, go for it. In other words, the guy tried to take Rocky down. He couldn't do it, couldn't knock him down. Let me tell you something. You're God's child. The demon will never knock you down. Never, ever. May punch you, may whack you. You will never go down. Matter of fact, you look that demon. Demon, you demon of addiction. You demon of perversion. You demon of deception. I hereby cast you back into hell. When God leaves the building, how do you recognize when the glory of God has departed? And how do you invite his presence back? Let's go to scripture. Folks, this is so important. This is religion, and this is what we need to deal with. What are we talking about? Talking about Elvis has left the building, and so has God. So is God. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, they look it. They look it. Boy, do they look it. Praising God. Oh, I feel so good because I come here so I can feel good. Thank you, God, for letting me feel good. I'm singing songs that made me feel good. This is not about you or me feeling good. This is about you and I worshiping the one and only God who sent his only son to die for us on the cross. Every drop of blood that hit the ground had your name on it, had my name on it. It's got nothing to do with feeling good. Can you feel complete? Can you feel joy? Of course. But it's not about the feel good. Looking like God, but not having the power. They have no power. These churches have no power. That's why they succumb. That's why they yield. That's why they bow to everything that the deep state government tells them to do. That's why they turned into jab junctions whenever they did the test. And I call it the beta test of the scandemic. So disgusting. The demons crawling all over those churches doing that. Preachers out there promoting it. Oh, I interviewed preachers that went to prison because they stood against it. One of them is still in prison. Let's get back to it. There's a song by Simon and Garfunkel, I think, Sound of Silence, yeah. Imagine a church packed on Sunday morning. Music, announcements, smiling faces, but heaven is silent. Oh, everything looks alive, whether you're a little church or a big church, but you don't have God in the building. It looks alive, but the Spirit has quietly walked out the back door. See, there's a difference between having church and having God. You can lose the presence of God, but keep the program. Let me say it again. There's a difference between having church and having God. People say to me, let's go have church. I say, I'm not interested in having church. I want to have God. Because you can lose the presence and hang on to that program, which is what most churches have done. They want to hang on to the program, their tradition. The big fat donor is writing big fat checks. And that donor doesn't want them to preach the truth, and they yield to that. Seven points you can tell if God's left the building and what you can do about it. Seven points. Let's go through it. The presence is replaced by performance. The presence of God is replaced by performance. Now, listen to me. This is so important. Why? Because you got buildings, you got people, you got denominations that's misrepresenting your father and my father. If they did that to your earthly father, wouldn't you stand up and say, wait a minute, you're lying about my dad? How much more would you not say you're lying about my heavenly father? Because they replaced the presence of God by performance. This is a very fine line. And this is what demons use. They use performance to get rid of presence. They use performance to feed on the emotions, the feelings of people that are hurt coming into church, telling them what they need to hear. The old scene effect. Oh, there's nothing wrong with you. God loves you. You're perfect. No, you don't need to repent. Why? You're perfect. Don't repent. Repent's telling people you're weak. Repent's telling people that you're not good enough. No, no, we're going to sing this song, this feel-good song, and you're going to wave your hands, and, you know, you're going to worship something. Second Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, a form of it, but denying its power. These Christian bands up there singing these Christian songs, they have no idea what they're singing. They don't research the writer. They don't really look at the words. They hear the music. Oh, yeah, they do look at the words a little bit. But most of these music leaders, they have no business leading music. Do you understand? Who knows what they did the night before? But just because someone has a talent to play guitar, some hungry preacher's grabbing people out of the audience saying, you're a great guitar player. You're a great drummer. Would you please get up and sing some? What are you, nuts? You've just pulled demons out of the congregation, told them to get up on the stage and start spewing out hell. What is wrong with you? Duh. And you came out of seminary? The lights are on, the band's playing, the crowd's clapping, cheering, but the anointing is gone. You say, David, wait a minute. No. No, you haven't been to my church. No, we got some great anointing going on there. I didn't say feelings. I didn't say you feel it. I said anointed. Anointed's got nothing to do with feeling. Anointing is understanding the presence of God. You can only do that when you're standing on holy ground. And when you're standing on holy ground, it's the ground you stand on. And if you're in a godless church, you'll know it. You'll understand it through your spirit. Some people come for the experience and not the encounter. Let me say it again. They want an experience. They don't want an encounter. There's a difference. People want to have an experience with feeling, an experience with just an experience. But they don't want the encounter. When you encounter God, that you get on your knees and you cry forgiveness. God, I'm not worthy. You're the Almighty God standing in front of me. God, I need you. Forgive me for what I've made all this to be. It's just little old me. But you're a big God, and I praise you. God, give me a morsel. Give me a crumb. And that's when God gives you the whole loaf of bread. The church becomes more like a show than a sanctuary. I'm not putting down churches that have big screens and technology. I mean, they showed Last Evangelist on that screen. Let me tell you something about that preacher that pastored that church. He had a real heart for God. I had a chance to talk to him one-on-one. And he told me, he said, David, they sent me home to die a year ago. Said I had a month to live. And it's been 12 months and I'm out there preaching the gospel. You see, folks, this was a bigger church with technology, but this was a pastor that had a heart for God. And this church was hungry for God. Preaching the point, when a church needs fog machines to simulate the cloud of glory, God has already left the building. Let me say it again. When you walk into a church, you look good. They got fog machines going on. Let me tell you what they're doing most of the time. They're imitating the cloud of glory. Because God's left the building. He ain't there. So they got to have an imitation like an Elvis impersonator. When they have that music turned up so loud you can't hear anything, they just want you to feel the rhythm. That's when it's dangerous. That's when demons start pumping stuff into your body, into your soul. Not your spirit, but your soul. And it affects your spirit. If you don't understand the words, get out. And if you do understand the words, and that's not the word of God, get out. I don't like this model of getting the best musicians on stage and they don't let anybody else get up and sing. I don't like that model. I think it stinks, but that's what churches do because they want it to sound good. I don't need for something to sound good. I need for something to sound real. Truth. That's what I want to hear. Truth. First Timothy 4, the Spirit clearly says, in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. This is not Halloween. This is your church down the street. This is that church down the street. They are following demons, doctrines of demons. We want to think this stuff doesn't happen around us, but it does. But it does. Let's look at some more scripture here. All right. Yeah. 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith, following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Folks, this is the church. It has to be, because how can you fall away from something if you never were there? It's not some drug dealer, not some prostitute. This is the church, and that's why it's disgusting to God. Because they knew him at one time, they fell away, and not only that, now they're selling a false god. All right, the word of God is watered down to avoid offense. No repentance, no, there's no altars. And I can prove it. Go to your church and look for an altar. When's the last time your pastor did a call to repentance? Oh, David, my pastor, he did last week. Really? What did he do? He said, he had to close our eyes. He said, if there's anybody out there that has fallen short, you know, just know that God loves you and God's there with you. That it's okay to fall short. children. That ain't repentance. Telling somebody they've fallen short. I know I've fallen short. You know you've fallen short. Now get down on your fallen knees and praise God and ask God to bless your fallen body because you fell short. That's called repentance. Nobody even knows what repentance is anymore. Because God's left the building. He ain't there. David, you ought to hear my band and my church and my preacher. I hear that all the time. There's no repentance because there's no sin, and therefore there's no holiness. See, people are made comfortable in their rebellion instead of convicted by the... People are made comfortable in their rebellion instead of being convicted by the truth. Did you hear what I said? You can become comfortable because you've rebelled so long, God has turned you over. Turned them over. Let them go. Instead, they should be convicted by truth, but they won't. And then the leadership calls for compromise, and they call it compassion. I tell people, don't ever mistake my compassion for compromise. I have compassion for people that are broken and people that don't know God. I have compassion. Why? Because I was there at one time, but I have no compromise. Don't ask me to step over on that side. I will not do it. And I say this humbly. Because only by the grace of God can I be where I am now. And I thank God I'm here now. And I may not be tomorrow, but I know I will be because I'm thanking God I'm here right now, if that makes any sense. In other words, I have to stay humble. I have to realize that amazing grace, if not for the grace of God, I would be where they are. And to be honest with you, I don't know why God chose me. If you looked at my past, I'd be the poster boy of screwing up, ego, doing it wrong. But God chose a wretch like me. I was blind, but now I see. When truth becomes hate speech, the Holy Spirit becomes a stranger. When truth becomes hate speech, the Holy Spirit becomes a stranger. Oh, that is so powerful. Number three, convictions replaced by convenience. Scripture says, Revelation 3:16, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Not because you're hot, not because you're cold, you're lukewarm, you're nothing. The altars is empty, but the coffee bar is full. I'm going to say it again. Go into a church. The altars, if there are any, they're empty. But look out at the coffee bar. The Starbucks has seeped into the lukewarm church. The only thing hot there is the coffee. There's no hunger, there's no weeping, there's no brokenness. Because God's word becomes optional. And obedience is the old-fashioned way. Remember that song, give me that old-time religion, give me that. I don't want the old-time religion. I don't want no religion. I mean, I want real. If they're talking about old-time religion, meaning the people that really gave their life for God, yeah, I'll take that. See, when we no longer tremble at God's word, he stops speaking in his house. I'm going to say it again. When we no longer tremble at God's word, he will stop speaking in his house. Folks, you and I are together all over the world. This is God's house right now. Jesus knew what we'd be doing 2,000 years ago. He knew this moment right now. He knew this was the new tabernacle. He knew this house was going to be built. But let me tell you how this house has been built. On blood, sweat, and tears. And what? Tears of repentance. The blood of Jesus. The sweat of not giving up. Blood, sweat, and tears. I've cried so many times on Sunday morning. And I preach, and sometimes I yell. I don't mean to yell. I don't want to offend it. I'm not worried about offending somebody. And I know I don't offend you. But you know what I'm talking about. I get passionate. I get angry. It's a righteous anger. And this house was built on that, because I will tell you that I don't deserve it. I will tell you that I need to get on my knees. I will cry tears. This is God's house. God is in it. That's why I've been blessed. You've been blessed. We talk to each other underground. That's why I get people, please sign up to David Hebner TV. Please help us. But not just help us, help you. We're a family. See, when worship becomes about self and no longer surrender, then we've lost it. Worship is about surrender, not self. You surrender yourself. Emotion replaces devotion. You say, I got to go in and do my devotions. No, you're not. You're doing your emotions. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying in general. Let's go in and do some devotions. No, you're doing emotions. When you devote, you give to God everything. Instead, people want to go to church. They want to take. I need a good message. Preach me a good sermon so I can feel good, so I can walk out feeling better than when I walked in. But you're not feeling better. You're actually worse off because you're in an apostate system. Number five, the word is no longer revered. Oh, but David, I read scripture. My pastor reads a scripture every week. Of course he does. The demons want to keep up that game. They know you got to read a scripture. You got to sing a song. You got to preach a 15-minute sermon. That's what most preachers are doing now, 15 minutes. I go, why are you doing 15 minutes? People don't have an attention span. Well, no, they don't, because you're not preaching truth. If you're preaching truth, they'd be on their, well, they'd probably be running out the back door. But the ones that are really hungry for God would be on their knees right in front of you. And guess what, preacher? You'd be the first person on your knees. Scripture is quoted like a fortune cookie instead of the word of God. They use the word of God like a fortune cookie instead of a sword. They, preachers, they don't speak truth because they don't want to lose donors. Well, first of all, this whole thing about being a preacher and getting a paycheck and being in the system, that's just wrong. Because you're at risk of having to weigh out one day, are you going to tell the truth, get fired, lose your paycheck? Are you going to tell the truth and forget about the consequences? I don't like that model. It's always been a little weird to me. When the pulpit stops trembling under the weight of God's word, then God leaves. God's word has weight. It's heavy because it convicts. It's like a two-edged sword, cuts to the bone. Number six, God leaves before anyone notices. Oh, that's a good one. God always leaves before anyone notices it. Ezekiel 10:18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house. And the saddest point is people keep going to church as if nothing ever happened. The motion continues, but the spirit has gone. The scariest thing isn't when God judges a nation, it's when he leaves a church and nobody misses him. See, Judgment Day isn't really the judgment. It's carrying out the judgment. It's the execution of the judgment. You're in the line for the sheep or the goats. The real judgment is when God left the building and nobody paid any attention. That was the judgment. That is the judgment. People say, well, I'm waiting for the judgment. You don't need to wait for it. It's already here. Look around. God is judged. Now, can a miracle happen? Yeah. Can people come? Of course. That's why we do what we do. But when you see lunatics out there, spiritual lunatics doing crazy things, you ask yourself, how in the world can God ever say, oh, that's okay, I'm going to send my presence anyway? Spiritual lunatics, completely severed from reality, spiritual reality. See, when God leaves, life becomes mechanical and programs replace miracles. I'm going to say it again. Life becomes mechanical. You do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And then programs take the place of miracles. You can't have a miracle in a lot of these churches because you got programs in there. And in the program, there's no word that says, now time for miracles. Have you ever opened up a program in a church and they say, right now, we're going to go after the demons, going to clean house, and then we're going to heal the sick, then we're going to raise the dead? No, because half the people would be gone. They'd be casting themselves out. And the preacher would be the first to go. People can't tell he's gone. Because religion keeps running on autopilot. Let me tell you. People can't tell God's gone because religion keeps running on autopilot. I have to be careful myself. I do the same thing sometimes over and over. And I ask God, I don't want to keep doing this. I'm in danger of turning it into a ritual, into a religion, thinking if I do it, I'm going to feel good. God, help me do something different. Help me get out of my comfort zone. Someone said, you got up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, there's something to that. Don't get up on the same side all the time. Get up on a different side. The wrong side is the side you get up on all the time. But yet the same thing keeps happening over and over again. Get up on a different side of the bed. I'm talking spiritual. The scariest judgment isn't fire from heaven. It's silence. Think about it. The scariest judgment is not fire from heaven. It's silence. The scariest judgment is when you and I or someone out there has been convicted of something and we've turned our back on the conviction so many times that we don't feel the rock in our shoe anymore, that God is no longer speaking to us. God help us. God help me. You know what I do sometimes? I don't know if this is scriptural. I don't know if you guys have done it. Tell me. But I go back and I say, God, would you purge my past, my mind, and tell me if there's things I've done that I haven't repented of, that I've become so used to, I'm on an autopilot. Would you bring that back to my mind so I can repent? And God brings them back. And I got to tell you, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. But then I get down, I repent, and I say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I wish I could change it. I wish I could go back. I can't, but forgive me. And he does. He forgives me. Has that ever happened to you? I know that may sound kind of weird to people, but it's not weird to me. It's not weird to me. See, I want to come clean with God. I want to stand in front of God, and I want to be clean. I want to be clean. Yeah, I want to be clean. All right, let's get back to it. Okay, so how do we invite God's presence back? How do we do this? David, you told me all the things that are wrong, but how do we invite God back? First of all, folks, when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was baptizing, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom of God is here. Now, we repent. We turn away from, we tell God, we let God know what we did. He knows it, but it's good to speak it out. Nobody needs to hear you. But it's good for us to know we spoke it out and get broken over it. Get broken. Don't be afraid to cry. Get on your knees. I tell people I'm learning to stand on my own two knees. Repent of pride and performance. Number two, return to the altar. If you don't have an altar in your church, go to your preacher and say, preacher, would you put an altar here? They probably won't, but they might. You never know. And when you're in that church, hit that altar. Speak to God and say, God, cleanse me. If you don't have an altar in your church and you've got an altar right where you are, have a little place for an altar. Some of you can't get on your knees. You don't have to physically get on your knees necessarily, but your heart has knees. Get on the knees of your heart. Build a space for prayer, not just programming. When you pray, don't program. Don't say the same thing over and over again. Go to a quiet place. You're better off spending 60 seconds in a quiet place for real prayer than 2 hours of programming, prayer programming. Restore reverence for the word. Respect the word. Not the written Bible. The Baptist printed that Bible. I'm not saying to worship that Bible, but the word is alive. God speaks to you. Respect that. Preach the truth, even when it hurts, folks. When it's uncomfortable, when it's scary, preach it. That's when God blesses you. Ignite worship in spirit and in truth. He said to the lady at the well, one day they will worship us in spirit and in truth. You have no idea what it's like to worship. Ask God and thank God for letting us worship him in spirit and in truth. Sing what glorifies God and not man. Meaning, don't glorify yourself. Make yourself feel good because you're singing. And then let's raise up a remnant. God will return to a people even if he's left the building. God will return. Trust me. Trust God. Trust the word of God. He will return. It's called repentance. He will return. He wants to return. So the question is, has God left your building? You say, David, I don't have a building. I haven't been going to church. You are God's building. Has he left the building? Is it time to ask him to come back in? I'm going to sing this song, Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. What that means is Jesus. Jesus is the rock of all times, Rock of Ages. And when his side was split open when he was on the cross, he was broken, and in that brokenness is where we hide, is where we have protection. And this morning, maybe God's speaking to you and saying, David, I know now I need to bring God back in his fullness, in his fullness. Search your life. There's areas of your life that God needs to come back into and occupy.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water in the blood from the wound inside the flow. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a double cure. Save me, Lord, and make me pure. Should my tears forever flow? Should my zeal no longer know? For the sin could not atone. Thou must save, Lord, and save me alone. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling.
There's someone out there listening to me, saying, David, I want to come back to God. God's coming back to you right now. He's stepping into the building, into your building. You say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for never abandoning me when I abandon you. Thank you for your faithfulness when I wasn't faithful. And Lord, thank you for sending your son to die for me. Cross. Sing it with me one more time.
Rock of Ages, clip me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water in the blood from the wound inside the flow. Of sin. I need a double cure, Lord. Save me now and make me pure.
Right now, God is breaking those addictions. Right now, God is mending that family. Right now, God is healing your body. Right now, God is stepping back into your life, more bigger, powerful than you've ever known, because he's your Rock of Ages. He's the place where you go. It's the place you know. Feel like people out there, including myself, have been delivered of certain things. I know I've been delivered this morning, delivered of the fear of yelling. Not yelling. I'm just passionate for God. I'm going to bring on someone that knows what me yelling is all about. I'll bring on my wife. Good morning. How are you?
Wow. Terry says, I need a triple cure. And that's where I'm at this morning. The Lord reminded me of a couple things even before I forgot to ask him to search me. And yesterday I was smiling at someone and they said to me, well, what's the matter? And I realized I must be like so serious all the time that when I smile, it seems that something's wrong, that it's odd to them.
Yeah, well, you're going through a lot. Your mother has some Parkinson's and, you know, you're over there taking care of her. And so you're going through a lot. But you're repenting now. You're saying, God, I'm going to smile inside. And the manifestation is my lips smiling on the outside, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of prayer requests, praise reports do we have this morning?
Yeah. And the other thing, last night, I realized it's a little bit too late. I had a chance to minister to someone at the grocery checkout, but I think I was just so focused on my own agenda. And I just want to repent of like not leaving room for Holy Spirit to adjust my schedule.
Okay. So, praise God.
For a whole week, Tirsa was dealing with migraines and insomnia. And at one point, the prophet was brought in and he revealed some things that needed to go. And once those items were gone, she slept much, much better. And so we're thankful for the way the Lord works to use his body together.
Okay. Yeah, we've been praying for her. She's over in Belize. I'm not sure about the prophet. I'm not on board with the prophet. But someone came in, and I hope they're not pretending to be a prophet because there are no more prophets. There's people that prophesy, but there are no prophets. The prophets are in Scripture.
Yeah.
The reason is it's dangerous when people says, I'm a prophet. Okay, you're a prophet.
Right.
So prophesy. Give me that. Well, and then it's against. Anyway, I'm sorry, Shania. I didn't mean to get off on that, but you mentioned that. And I want people out there to understand.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, she was healed. And it's not because of a prophet. It's because of everybody's prayers.
Yes,
she's in Belize, Central America, which there's a lot of demonic influence over there. So poor girl, she's a young girl, and she's in the ministry. All right, who else?
Yeah, and well, your truck broke down, and it was going to be a week before anybody could look at it, and you're not in town, but the Lord.
Yeah. Well, that was a miracle that it got fixed. The biggest miracle was, I was right next to an Indian restaurant. It was an Indian buffet in Nashville. And I love Indian food, but I can't eat it because I get heartburn. But because of my addiction to wanting to taste Indian food, there I said it, okay. It's not addiction because I don't drive all the way to Nashville to eat it. But I went and ate it. I didn't have one bit of heartburn. So that was
the Lord.
Praise God on that. All right, yep. We just got a few minutes. I'm sorry, Shanita. I'm a little bit.
We're praying for Terry's friends, for Rena's friend, for Rena's other friend, for Amy's healing, for Crystal's niece, Shaylee, for Sherry, and for there's a deaf young man who is coming to church today, and he has been cutting. His girlfriend has a lot of darkness around her also. And we're just praying for Martha to be open to Holy Spirit and that their hearts will be open to be ministered to and transformed.
Praise God. Okay. Let's remember everybody you mentioned. We'll pray for them underground also. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Love you. Appreciate you.
Yeah. I mean, we're out of time. Okay. I'll share it next week.
All right. God bless you. We are out of time, but you know what? God's never out of time. I thank you, Lord, for every name that Shanita mentioned. I'm asking for a healing. I'm asking for miracles. I'm asking for your hand to touch them, to give them comfort, protection, and discernment. We pray for the children every week. No evil can come against our children. Children are being set free. They will not be taken. They will be able to live, and the mother will not go to that clinic. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We come to you humbly. In Jesus' name, All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you all. I just real quick here before we go, a little bit of housekeeping. Please don't forget about our festival, the Last Evangelist Festival. If you could please go and sign up, get your ticket. We'd love to have you in person, the Last Evangelist Film and Music Festival. You can come the 14th and 15th. The 15th, we're showing movies. We're going to be praying over the filmmakers, and we're going to show episode 3 of The Last Evangelist. It's the world premiere. We're going to have a red carpet event, and we've won Best Faith Series. So please, also too, if you would, I'd appreciate it if God lays it on your heart, if you could consider donating to this ministry. Go to davidhebner.tv/give, text CHOSEN to 91999, or call 844-806-0006. I do this every week because it's kind of like passing the offering plate. It's the only way we survive is on your prayers and your donations. Otherwise, we're not going to be here. We have a heavy load we have to carry, and we do appreciate you all so much. And also, if you've got that house or car that you wanted to donate, call 855-500-RIDE. Appreciate that. All right. Love you guys. Just remember, you never really live till you found someone worth dying for, and that's Christ Jesus. God bless you all. Hey, everybody. I am honored and blessed not to have just one new book out, but two new books. That's right. Two new books. The first one is End Times Investigation. I deal with Hollywood mind control. I deal with demon portals, the alien-demon connection, astral projection, program multiples, satanic ritual abuse, and much, much more. The things that I talk about in Last Evangelist and on my shows, all my interviews I do, it's right here in this book, especially my life story. Also, True Power, how to access your true power in these last days. Okay, it's a war manual for God's children. We need to learn the enemy's tactics and how to battle the enemy in these last days. Pick up a copy of this book. Just text the word CHOSEN to 91999, or you can go to davidhebner.tv/order, or you can simply call 844-806-0006. I want you to go to davidhebner.tv. We have two exclusive videos that are up. You won't see anyplace else. I'm Dr. Michael Lake. The first one is Technocracy and Tyranny. That's part two. Part one is MK Ultra is used today, program multiples and mass shootings. This is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You'll get it on davidhebner.tv. Please support us. If you haven't signed up, go and sign up now. You get 2 months free if you sign up for a year. And folks, it is